Okay, Josh, are you ready?
I am ready.
I think we should talk about one of your favorite subjects, trade shows.
That's one I'm familiar with.
Specifically, the news that the 2021 NAB show has moved from April to October and is now scheduled to start just about a month after the 2021 IBC show ends.
Much to talk about on those two subjects.
Exactly, but our opinions don't really matter. That's why we have a special guest today, Chris Brown, the EVP of Convention Operations, I believe is the title. Well, also known unofficially to many as Mr. NAB Show. So, Chris, thanks for being here.
Yeah, no, glad to do it. Appreciate you guys setting it up so quickly.
I'm sure that it wasn't your intention when you made the announcement about the show, but you did corporately, anyways, create a bit of a rumble through the Twitter sphere yesterday and, you know, LinkedIn, other social media. We were reading through some of those comments on Twitter and on LinkedIn today. Have you guys looked into that, absorbed it? Do you have any reaction to what people are saying? There was a, for example, TVB Europe, I saw that they had gotten statements from 15 or so people that were across the board. And just wondering if you have any reaction to that.
Yeah, we've absolutely been monitoring it. I think that we knew going into this that, hey, look, whatever decision we made, we understood there were trade-offs. We understood that no path was ideal. We also understood that to some extent, no matter what, there would be some folks who were going to be a little bit uncomfortable. And that particularly just, and it's, we do take it for granted, but sometimes, you know, it's amazing to me to think about how folks are locked into calendars, how folks build their years, build their time, build their plans around calendars. And that became, you know, more clear to us.
You know, 30 years of ingrained muscle memory, if you've been going back to all those shows.
And then the, you know, just in any industry that has, you know, large events, large global events, there are all the satellite events and pieces that kind of also slot in the calendar around that. And so we also knew that going in, that was going to create some disruption, not only with IBC, but we, you know, as I mentioned, SMPTE with their event in the fall, SCTE, a few others. None of those, if we could figure out how to thread it exactly the way we could do it to where we wouldn't have landed on anything or anybody, we absolutely, by the way, of course, as you know, when you look at any event or program and you're scheduling it out, you also have to think about things like holidays and, the fall's got a few. And so you throw it all into a big pot and we did our best to try to land somewhere where we thought we could still make it work and disrupt as little as possible.
Understood. Still, the timing was a bit unfortunate, don't you think? That was certainly one of the recurring comments on social media anyway.
I will say that for me, one regret is the timing on this was not the way we would have planned it in terms of the announcement. Was not my intent to be, you know, making an announcement as IBC was working through its digital program. We've obviously done that and we know how much work and effort goes into that. And we are not, just not our culture to be out there trying to jump on what other people are doing. It totally there came down to our decision process and the way we have timed things really was literally on a 30-day kind of rolling, decision point, first of every month, taking a look, trying to determine. And so our choices were, we needed to go ahead and make the choice, make the announcement, or we were waiting another 30 days and we did not see any value to waiting another 30. You know, we saw nothing but downside to really waiting.
No, I think it makes sense. 30 days. I guess there are some people who are on social media trying to make it out as a NAB versus IBC thing, but it sounds, and IBC is in the same position, right? In this kind of unenviable position of having to change something that's so massive from the ground up.
Yeah, I was on an HBA program with, with Mike Krimp, with Barbara Lang, with the folks at SVG, with Guy Finley, with a lot of folks at two events in our world. I mean, I think the one thing that was interesting there,
we do
is you got some giants there.
Yeah. It was an interesting, it was a really great conversation. The sentiment was, you know, first of all, empathize, right? Everybody can empathize with what each other are having to deal with, go through. And I think the industry has been much more about trying to bond together to try to work through all of this stuff, communicate, help each other. You know, that was the resounding spirit. Everybody understanding that it's not easy. Everybody understanding that, you know, we're going to go through some bumps and, you know, bruises through this, but that, you know, in the end, we can sort it out and we can do it together, and we should, you know, we'll all be the better for it. We have a lot of great, you know, cooperation in our industry across those kinds of organizations. So it's nice to see. So I think, you know, for us, again, it's a daunting kind of list of variables and a lot in a tough kind of tightrope act to walk. And none of decisions are easy. I hope never to have to go through this kind of thing again. But, you know, hey, I guess we'll be better prepared.
Against that, Chris, if I asked you in 2021 in October, is that envisioned to be a proper NAB? So all the halls, similar booth layout, similar exhibition hours, or are there compromises that you're envisioning we're going to have to make?
Yeah, no, we have no illusions that 2021 is going to be a normal year. Sorry to use that word. It's been overused quite a bit. One direct answer is no, we don't have access to all the space we would. This was one of the major challenges of trying to move a show of the size of ours, is could we actually secure enough space in the time frame that would make sense? And as we started to look at the different date options, we assumed there would be compromises there, and in the end, there have been. So in October, we will have two of the four halls. We'll have the North and the Central Hall at our disposal, as well as the Silver Lot, which in a normal year might, the Silver Lot would be an afterthought, but in a year like this, the Silver Lot could actually be very useful.
Prime real estate.
So we have the opportunity, if we need it, to expand into that parking lot area and do a little bit more out there. The big thing for us in kind of working through this is that the educational elements of the show are really important to us. And so we didn't just need enough space to handle the expo component. We needed enough space to handle the meetings piece. And if you guys know the Las Vegas Convention Center well, the meeting space isn't all created equal, and it isn't all kind of spread equally throughout the building. So getting the North and Central buildings was critical, because that does give us access to the bulk of the meeting space at the Convention Center, and will allow us pretty much to do most of, if not all of, what we've been able to do in the past. Whether we will or not, still a question, but we at least have access to that. So going to the two buildings is immediately going to change the complexion of the show, for sure. South Building, as you know, has been a very busy two floors, two levels of exhibit for us, and we will need to kind of reset things. The reality is, we also assume that people are going to adjust their space plans. And believe me, we've made this choice believing that this does put us in the best position to create the most successful show possible, that this will give us the best opportunity to get the most companies in at a budget level that they're comfortable at, or that will allow them to do what they need. But we don't expect it to be at 100% of the budgets they've spent in the past, because given all the challenges that everybody's going through, given also that we're going to have some space limitations in general, we have what we think we need, but it will be different. We're going to have to get a little creative probably in some areas. But actually, we see that there's some positive in that. You know, maybe 2021 is going to be a different year no matter what you do. And so this kind of puts us in a position where we have to come at it differently. And ideally, we can convince, you know, all our good folks in the industry that, you know, they can get creative with us and we can make it all work.
Chris, is the only having access to half the space because of construction? There was building the West Hall and moving things around, which would have made 2021 problematic, I guess is the word anyways. Or is there another show that's in the other half of the building?
Yeah, the other couple of halls are occupied during the time frame that we're looking at. In fact, this was the challenge we knew we'd have in the fall. Spring and fall, of course, are the busy times for events, period, major events, certainly. Las Vegas being a busy city, we knew the fall would be busy in Las Vegas.
Right. So just logistically, do you have access to the Hilton next to the North Hall?
Yep. Westgate, called the Westgate.
The Westgate, yeah,
yeah, absolutely. The old Hilton, but yeah. Now the Westgate, yeah. We do. And that's actually another advantage of having the Central North setup, is that we can link pretty seamlessly to the Westgate just for fun, so that you know, the events that are with us, alongside us, are National Business Aviation, which is a private jet show. So if you're in the market for a private jet, you have money to plunk down, or, you know, maybe it's a jet share program.
We'll get John Stroop to come out of retirement for that one.
Yeah. Perfect. So could be interesting, could be fun. That's in the West Building.
From Ebert's.
Yeah. And then an auto auction show, which is a precursor to the big SEMA show, the big auto aftermarket show. So everybody that loves retooling their cars, there is an auto event in the South Building. So if you like jets and you like fast, cool cars, we're going to have interesting stuff next to us.
Chris, are there any early returns, as it were? Do you have a feeling for, if somebody had 500 square feet, are they taking 250 for the 21 show? Is it too early to tell that? Just wondering how that's going to work if we've got half the space, for example.
Yeah, we're gonna tweak the process slightly in that we are going to, because we have to, really. We're going to go out with a space application to at least get an indication of what people are thinking at this point. We have some of that.
With half the space, do you cap the amount somebody can have, or do you... Typically, you'd give a discount if somebody took more, I guess. But in that sense, if you're trying to get as many people, and maybe you limit the amount or penalize people for taking more, or is that off base?
Yeah, it's a great question, and actually one that came up with our exhibitor advisory group. And so we kind of talked through that a little bit. From our standpoint, you know, we don't want to disadvantage the smaller companies in any way, or, you know, we certainly don't want to get into, you know, while it might be nice to be in a position to go, hey, we've sold everything we have. In the end, I want to make sure we can get as many companies accommodated as possible. So we'll know better whether we do need to come back and kind of consider some limitations once we've done this application process and people are telling us what they're thinking. Answer your question, it is still a little early. We've had some conversations. And while we know that there are a couple of companies, certainly based on, you know, again, this really, really difficult situation, who are going to reduce fairly dramatically, there's a fair number on the other side. For example, we had a couple of companies say, look, yeah, we may reduce some, we probably won't reduce a lot. So that's, you know, they didn't give me give us any specifics, but that sounds more like, hey, if I might take, you know, 20% less. Or
Chris, was that before or after you had made the October announcement? I'm just asking because if I have booth material in Amsterdam, I don't have time to get it to Las Vegas unless you charter one of those private jets at the show next door and bring it over. It's just not going to happen. I think a lot of people use the same material.
Yeah, it was Wednesday, the day of the announcement. Essentially, we wanted to make sure we were connected to our advisory committee and they were, you know, kind of totally tuned in. That specific issue didn't pop up there, but it is a legitimate issue, I understand. And I'm sure that will be a factor for some companies that will impact, you know, how they look at both events and what they can do. This is another area where we probably can't solve it completely for everybody, but we might be able to help in terms of our ability to work with either Freeman, our general contractor, or other design builders, other display sources that may be able to help companies with kind of temporary solutions, things that they can do to help cover their needs or to help, you know, kind of with transport if that's, you know, really going to ultimately be the big issue. So we can insert ourselves to help to the extent people are, you know, willing to allow us to help with that. And this is, you know, we obviously work with, you know, some of the biggest companies in the world that do logistics and know how to do that stuff. So hopefully there are some solutions. But, you know, being honest again, we understand that it's going to have an impact, and there may be, you know, it may require people to adjust what they will do. I mean, I actually, my general thought, and this is only with very limited data and just kind of looking at it, is I think most companies are going to, you know, part of what we wanted to do in getting out, you know, with the news earlier rather than later, it's also give people time to kind of think about it, think about budget, think about those kinds of logistical issues, those kinds of things. And if we can work with them or adjust, we've got a little time to work on it. But I think companies are going to say, yeah, for 21, look, there are a number of issues, number of factors. I've got to adjust. I'm going to take, you know, my 100%. I'm going to take it down, you know, 20, 25, who knows, maybe it's as much as 30 or more percent for 21. And then I'm going to look to, all things being equal, try to get myself, you know, back in 22 to a more normal level. Whether it's 100% or not, I don't know, but it might be 80%, it might be 90%. Again, we're thinking that ideally, you know, if everything goes, we'd like that by 22, people are back to thinking they've got budget and can expend budget you know, to help drive their, you know, their sales.
Right. And not being pejorative here, but I guess the price is the same. You're not lowering the price.
Correct.
Because an argument could be made if I'm an exhibitor that I'm not getting the same value from a show that's half the size with half the attendees and we don't know who's going to be there. But commercially, I guess your costs are the same.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. But I think for us, the primary thing there, and as I said, we are absolutely looking at that, and we may, we may formalize some kind of approach to that says, look, if we can't deliver, then we aren't probably at a point where we can afford to make it a complete pay for performance kind of scenario.
Sure.
But something that's perhaps between that and kind of our straight here it is, and this is what you get.
Right.
It's not a straight up volume equation. Right. So we're open to come up, with something. Bottom line is we'll all probably know it and feel it. And so, if we're in that dire of a condition, which we certainly would want to avoid, we'll figure something out. I mean, we're not going to leave people hanging. We're not going to go too bad, so sad. We'll hope for better next year. We want to make sure and we're already kind of in that condition, which is, given how we approached the cancellation last year and gave people opportunity to kind of carry over and apply credits to next year. I mean, we're kind of saying, look, we want to, let's help, let's reinvest that, with you. Let's figure out how we make that work. But we also said, look, if you're just not in, you get that money back. Same thing would happen here. If they just said, look, I know I told you I'd carry my money over, but now I'm just really not sure what's going to happen in October. It's fine. You have a full refund back. You have a refund of that credit back.
Can that company in that hypothetical situation retain its points and seniority and all that stuff, roll that over?
Yep, that was the idea, to do that. Kind of re-examining all of our policies and understanding that all of that has to have a certain amount of flexibility built in through, at least 22, if not, a little bit beyond that, as we kind of get back to where we'd like to be.
Right.
It's at one level, and I know we've talked about this, but people like us, Devoncroft, have a vested interest in the trade shows, and the trade shows being great places, because you are able to bring together a critical mass of companies that we want to work with, of decision makers that we want to talk to, and there's just ample business opportunities within that marketplace. And so we all have a vested interest, and I haven't, I guess, been shy about saying I think the virtual equivalents are just demonstrably inferior. So I guess, Chris, we'd love to just get the background of the thought process that went into the announcement and moving to October.
Sure. Well, not an easy decision by any stretch, or any dimension. I mean, we've been really, since we were put in the position of having to cancel our 2020 show back in March, we have been in a position of having to kind of keep our finger on the pulse of a whole lot of different variables, all the same things that everybody's looking at in terms of the external world here, certainly, the virus and its trajectory and various governments and their efforts to kind of get that under control. It's everybody's primary world at this point. And so that certainly has been the big piece of it that we've been trying to understand. And in particular, obviously, in our case, what impact that's going to have or, would have on the ability of folks like us to pull together major events, mass gatherings in the new COVID vernacular, if you will. As you can imagine, from the outset of that process, the data has changed pretty much weekly, if not daily. And early in that process, what we just were needing to do was validate that we were comfortable that we could safely produce the show next April. Over time, as we watched all of this evolve, all the data we were looking at was indicating that our ability to do that was gradually starting to get more and more questionable, at least, if not fully compromised. So we watched the calendar of major events through 2020 gradually erode, where there were, back in the spring, there were still events on the calendar in the fall. We watched gradually as those moved off the calendar and either into the next year or just canceled altogether. Then we watched sort of the fourth quarter events begin to wither away. We watched big events in Las Vegas that we thought might still happen, like the big SEMA show, which is a big auto aftermarket show that had been saying, we are absolutely doing this no matter what. Been now 2-3 weeks since they actually also announced that they would not be holding an event in 2020. Bottom line is 2020 quickly became clear that it was going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for any major event to happen in 2020 through the end of the year, which got us then looking nervously then at early next year. And two things happened. One is we started to see some of the big shows come off the calendar there, CES being the big announcement. And the other thing that was happening was we had been closely monitoring and out talking to the industry to kind of understand how they were viewing next year, how they were viewing, you know, their plans for events. And it quickly became clear to us that those companies were starting to also question, you know, the ability to participate in or send their employees to mass gatherings, big events, in at least the first quarter of next year. And then over time, you know, and through the end of the summer, as we talked to people, I think that kind of pushed out to really mid-year, to the point where, based on everything we were seeing, our estimate is that we would be lucky to be able to expect half of our normal audience to participate in a trade show in April. But also hearing from people that were feeling that they could go to events in 2021, but it was going to happen later in the year.
Chris, when you say you're talking to people, are those exhibitors or are you also talking to attendees, media companies, broadcasters, posts, et cetera?
A pretty good sized cross-section of our past participants on the attendee side as well. So we got feedback from several thousand folks that have been to our show from an attendee perspective. And the interesting thing was not much variation between how exhibitors were looking at this and how past attendees were looking at this. And you guys know as well that we've seen and heard, you know, many corporations who have placed travel restrictions around their employees. Quite a few have done that through the end of this year. And then a small few, but certainly important few, big companies who have also said, look, we're not having people travel through June, July of next year.
And Chris, I think this is my last kind of pessimistic question. Then I'm going to really switch over to being really optimistic. But as I guess I'm saying quite frequently these days, I haven't viewed a lot of the industry discussion since the disruption took place as being particularly serious. And I think this is serious, right? You're saying, hey, there's certain reality where we have to make different decisions. And so I really applaud that. I guess what I hear you saying is that, you know, one of the consequences of just the environment we're in now is that trade shows in 2021 are going to have to be a bit more regionally focused and less global. And where I guess cry some tears on the inside is, to me, we only have two global events in this industry. Everything else is really regional. And is it a goal of the NAB, hey, we've got to get back to having that global profile in 2022 or as soon as is possible? Or am I overthinking this?
No, I think you're dead on. As I said, we are really, and this is all things being equal, and this is where we're all hoping this will play out. We are assuming that 2021 is, you know, just a different year, and if you will, a bridge year. And our dates are held in April of 22. Our intent is to get back into that date timeframe for 2022. And we, like everybody else, are hoping that the virus is fully contained and we're safe by end of next year, second half of next year. And that going into 2022, we are starting to feel some tailwind behind us and things are beginning to move in the right direction. So we actually, as we look at the next, you know, 3 or 4 years, we actually think that 2022 could be a really nice bounce back year, all things being equal. And our intent would be to kind of ride that fully in, you know, with that momentum coming out of 21. I mean, we do think that the 21 event, you know, both IBC and NAB, not ideal that we're all going to, you know, we're going to be kind of one right after the other, but I think it's a unique time. I think we can all make it work. I think that we've even reached out, you know, and would like to reach out to talk some more with IBC about how we can coordinate, you know, our own messaging, at least around this, to encourage people to embrace the unusualness of what we all are going to have to, you know, work through. And I think they have the best of intentions. I've spoken with Mike Crimp a few times, and I've been on a program with him and some of the other folks, Simpty, another owner of IBC. And I think we're all trying to work through this, and we're all trying to do what's in the best interest. It's a balancing act, no doubt. Trying to do what's in the best interest of the industry. We have to protect our own interests and our own organizations. That is not all that easy necessarily, but I do think there's a way for us to work through this so that it all puts us in position coming out of 21 where we're in nice shape for 22, ideally.
Chris, I guess when you talk about protecting your own interest, my assumption, given the fact that you're moving the show to October, is that the New York show becomes a collateral damage, for lack of a better term. Is that the case, you reckon?
It is, although we believe that there may still be an opportunity for us to do an event in New York under the NAB Show New York brand. Haven't worked through the details of that, but when we made this decision to make the move to October, with that, we've had to kind of just look at the whole year differently. So really take a fresh look at the calendar. And I think what we want to monitor and what, you know, we'll continue to look at, I wish we could stop monitoring, but you know, we'll keep looking at how this is all evolving and truly when it is safe to be doing any kind of event, it may be that we can do, you know, a smaller version of a New York event earlier in the year. And there may be other events that we can do. So we do think there could be opportunity to do regional events earlier in the year. We won't do that until we are, you know, certain that it can be done safely. And I will tell you, just as a personal bias, there's a part of this, you know, at least when you put our hat on, where it's tempting to want to be out in front and take a leadership position and say, hey, look, we may take it on the chin, but we're going to show people the way. We're going to do this and we're going to show how you can implement safety precautions, health checks, all these other kinds of things to get this done, just to help to, if you will, break some of the logjam, get people more comfortable, show that it can be done, all those kinds of things. We thought about that with April. It's just too big a risk with an event like that. But with smaller events, you might be able to take that risk and you know, be able to do some things that hopefully wouldn't compromise the experience so much that it really isn't able to deliver. I mean, that's a real concern of mine. There is a complete conflict between the situation we're in, a situation where, you know, where social distancing, where distancing people is the norm, and we are talking about events which brings people together. And I realize we're only talking 6 feet, but still, that is just it. There are enough compromises in trying to do that, at least in the near term, that it suggests it's pretty difficult to pull it off. But as soon as we think we can do something that actually will work, and that might be 100 people, it might be 1,000 people. You know, it's hard to know, but we have not ruled out that we want to stay agile enough that we might be able to do those kinds of things. And New York would be, you know, one of the possibilities there.
Well, with personal bias, but also huge global demand, NAB San Diego.
Yeah.
Sounds like a winner to us.
We're open.
I think that in addition to the distancing, we have a lot of tactile products, touchscreens. How do you demonstrate a camera, switchers, editors, camera accessories? People want to pick them up and play around with them. So just all of that has to factor into it. And I guess in addition to that, it makes me wonder, you got half the space, even if you have half the people, you've probably done those calculations. How do you distance people? Is it like when I go to the grocery store and when they get to 30 people inside the store, you have to queue up outside? I don't know what the weather's like in Las Vegas in October, but here we are in the middle of September. It's 115 degrees there. And then once you get into the hall, there's a big demo on the Avid booth or Adobe booth or, you know, whoever typically would have those really crowded spaces. They are also going to have to distance. And so it seems like it would be better to have more space rather than less. Obviously, they probably don't want to pay the full freight that they would have paid before, but there's a lot of issues like that. You must be having to completely rethink the show from the ground up.
No doubt. I will say off the top, though, that is certainly a key factor that weighed in the decision here, because we are hopeful that by October, the conditions will be such that we're not having to implement as dramatic of measures as those that you mentioned. But we are probably going to have to build out two or three scenarios in terms of how we'll approach that. So we will be putting together, if you will, a couple of different, you know, contingency plans for how we might work through that. And it might be everything from, initially, we will probably lay out the floor plan, for example, on a relatively traditional grid. We may build in a little additional space across the main aisles and those kinds of things just to spread a little bit, create some additional space. we'll look at all of those things. And that's the kind of stuff that we would look at. The basics, of course, are going to be, and this is more driven by the current set of conditions, but the basics are always going to be, are we providing, you know, hand sanitizer stations? Are we providing masks? Are we requiring masks? What sort of social distancing messaging or requirements will we have? More recent focus has been around, is it practical? Is it possible to do testing? And that is becoming more real. And, you know, we would hope by the time next year, even spring rolls around, but certainly by the time fall rolls around, that, you know, there are testing options if needed to kind of help us manage that. Additional medical personnel to handle cases identified, all those kinds of things. And definitely, as I mentioned, when we look at things like outdoor space, that may give us opportunity to help manage as well. And we're going to have to think creatively about how that gets laid out, how that's offered, what those types of spaces actually look like. We'll have to take a few chances probably with, you know, we can tent the outdoor space and completely enclose it, including air and heat flow if we need it. But then we're now we're enclosed. Do we want to keep it open? Open's great, but now you've got potential weather issues. It can get a little windy in Vegas. And we haven't done the fall. We've not had rain in April, but you never know what, you know, what the fall could bring. So you got to try to manage through all those things. So a lot of sort of laying out of some contingency. We've done a lot of level one, level two, level three kinds of approaches to health and safety, and we'll carry those forward. And again, just very honestly, we are going to hope that we can produce the show in October with sort of the minimal level of precaution needed, whatever's needed, but hopefully not as, we really don't want to have to line everybody up for tests if we don't have to. We really don't want to have to mandate masks if we don't have to, you know, all of those things that just sort of do change, fundamentally change the experience. And like you said, a lot of work, and we will do that as well, to whatever extent is necessary. But we have to educate exhibitors as well about what they should be looking at, what they should be doing. Talked about all the equipment that gets touched. You know, how do they ensure that that remains clean, sanitized? There are a lot of eyes on it. There are a lot of people and a lot of experts jumping in. There are a lot of people out there that have planned for these kinds of things in other scenarios that we're all tapping into at this point.
I guess another part of the risk, though, is the everything that we've talked about so far is kind of in the hall, in the parking lot. But then you've got these two other shows, which means that the hotels presumably will be as full as maybe they would be normally, and just Las Vegas in general, which obviously you can't control. I always joked that the last place you want to be if you're run down or not feeling most susceptible to getting sick is the like Las Vegas Convention Center during a trade show, and all of the hotels and casinos that are around there. You just can't legislate for that. And I guess it's going to be what it's going to be, but that does certainly create a risk for attendees, whether they're exhibitors or visitors. And just going back to what you said about companies having travel policy restrictions, and some of them we've talked to said we're not traveling through the end of 2021. Again, not many, but kind of big companies. Maybe because of the size asymmetry in this industry, that the typical media company, broadcaster, big customer is so much bigger than the average supplier, who by definition almost are kind of small businesses versus these kind of giant enterprises. And at some point, and I don't know, I guess my question would be, you are going to open space selection, registration, that type of thing, and somebody has to make a commitment to that, not knowing what the future holds, and I'm assuming that at this point you probably can't get pandemic insurance, and at the same time not knowing if the customers are going to come. And, you know, Josh was saying previously that the USP that an NAB has or an IBC has, you get people from all over the world, they're coming together, okay, it's going to be regional, so part of that is going to be diminished. But at some point, and I'm going to assume that most of the revenue and profit that the NAB as an organization generates from the show comes from selling floor space. If the customers, if the end users aren't coming because of those travel restrictions, then the exhibitors aren't going to go and pay to be there by themselves. And I don't know if there's an answer to that, but it seems like there's a real chicken and egg if we're 14, 13 months out from that date now.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you've raised a bunch of good issues there, questions there. I mean, I think that one, you know, we you know, will be and have been working hard to be understanding of the challenges that all of our customers are facing. And so here again, we're trying not to be naive, and we're trying not to, we understand it won't be business as usual going into next year. And so that means everything from the way we handle the space process to how we handle payment schedules, how we handle cancellation policies, all of those things have to be reset and reset understanding those challenges that folks are going through, and that there is still uncertainty, and that there will be uncertainty, you know, for you know, for at least the short term and for, you know, a little bit here. So we've got to be adaptive. We have to be able to adapt to that, and we will. You know, one of the things relative to delivering the audience and making sure that, as you said, we don't have our good exhibitor customers showing up with no one there. We, a couple ways to look at that. One is I do think we're going to do everything we can to kind of deliver that audience. When you talk about things like people being nervous about hotels, people, you know, those are barriers. Those are all the kinds of things that, you know, we've already started kind of, you know, talking through, you know, where there may be opportunities for us to perhaps help. In that case, for example, maybe we can work with Airbnb and work with other local housing rental groups so that we can provide an inventory of houses that people can rent while they're in town, and are therefore themselves feeling a little bit safer versus being in one of the big casinos. The big casinos, as I'm sure you've been reading and you've seen, have been up front. They have a vested interest in getting themselves up and running. They were certainly some of the first to have the camera, thermal camera screenings and those kinds of things kind of in place. It's not been perfect. It's not been completely smooth, but I think they're learning. They're getting better, you know, with time. Hopefully by the time we get there, all that, you know, is that much more improved. But back to the attendance piece, I mean, one way or the other, we have to deliver. I mean, we will, you know, we said this even back in March. I mean, if, you know, when we hadn't made the decision yet and people were saying the same thing, what are you going to do if nobody shows up? We said, well, look, you know, we're not going to, you know, let that go and just say, thanks, gee, we're sorry. We will make that right with you one way or the other. And, you know, we would go into this year with that same kind of mentality. There is a scenario, as you know really well, that we may have reduced attendance, but a much better result, because people are very serious about being there. They've made the effort. They've made the attempt. They've taken, if there are still risks, they've worked through that. And they're there because they have a real need to be there. And if our footprint is smaller, which we assume it will be, ratio of attendance to exhibitor could still be very good. It could, you know, there's about 900 different scenarios that could play out there. But for us, in the end, for, you know, looking at whether we do a show in April, doing a show in October, we feel October gives us a much, much better chance, obviously, to deliver that, you know, that better quality.
You know, as you're talking, Chris, I'm just, all of it's just kind of going through my mind, like, wow, this is like you're not in an enviable position having to deal with, you know, this, like, absolutely in the eye of the storm of the virus. The entire industry is, but then you as this big jamboree where people come together from all over the world. So I think it's maybe helpful to hear you talk about just how all of the things you have to do to reimagine, as it were, the exhibition from the ground up. Let's transition away from the fact that talk for half an hour about the virus, and there's a lot of unknowns, and the KPIs for the show are really important, and some of the business issues as well.
You can probably see the smile on my face when I hear you talk about maybe this is an opportunity to refocus on what, say, the true KPIs of the show should be. And if I could say, I'll preface this by saying I recognize that I have certain idiosyncrasies that may not be shared by the broader attendee public. All right. But I would say that it seems to me that isn't this an opportunity to get back to the real commercial reason for the shows, the efficient market for buying and selling technology? And can we start to revisit the wisdom of having comedians and karaoke and, you know, giving awards out to celebrities? I mean, I understand maybe there's people that do come to the show for that, but not the people that are paying the bills, right? So is there an opportunity to revisit that wisdom and maybe just kind of get it back to the original focus?
It's a great point. Certainly fits very much sort of how we're looking at this now. Do we have all the answers? No, but I think we are asking that exact question and wanting to as we look to the show next year, think back to, what is it that really drives the value here? How do we make sure the focus stays there? How do we not do things the same way? We think that the bar has to get raised one way or the other. You guys know as well as I do that, with all the challenges that our industry, has been wrestling with for a number of years, that we've seen that the show needs to evolve as well as those things are happening, and needs to be able to drive a higher level value, a different kind of value, a different kind of interaction. We need to do more to curate what's going on. We've done some things, but we haven't done enough. I mean, we have, listings, and we have, a mobile app, and we do all of those kinds of things to try to facilitate, but it doesn't go far enough. Some of the challenge here too is data, and we have to get ourselves caught up and wrapped around data so that we can use that in a way that helps people connect. So that's a general sort of way we are looking at it. And all I would say, Josh, back to your original point, is we're with you. We do want to figure that out. Wide open, if you guys have ideas, keep sending them my way, because we're really not interested in just kind of continuing to do what we've done, forever. Is it easier to do that? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's easier to do that, but we're going to try to push wherever we can. Digital world, that's kind of interesting, is in the digital world, because there is perhaps at least a path to capturing a bit more data in the digital world, it can be a little easier to kind of create connections, or it's possible to create those connections. What it's not possible to do, though, is recreate serendipity, recreate the things that happen in the physical show world that are unexpected, right? That happen, at the hotel, that happen on the bus, or that happen, in the cab.
The good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, which is amazing, right? It's the stuff that you just discover, but you weren't intending, or you hadn't planned for that. Trying to do that in the digital space is really, really difficult, if not impossible. I think we're trying to get there, but those are the things that are just really, really hard. And also, of course, as we all know, the sort of just, emotional and social sides of people gathering, people being together, people celebrating, people, just personally connecting, all of those kinds of things matter a lot to everybody. Again, not as easy to recreate in a digital world. So it's interesting how, in some respects there's opportunity and challenge in both areas, whether we can kind of close those gaps or those pieces up. I don't know, but I think we're recognizing them and working on trying to make each piece of that more effective.
So, Josh, having heard that, do you think that Kermit the Frog is the answer? Because I know this is something that we've talked about a lot.
I'm going to pass on that question. Can I pass on
that
question?
No, you can't. You can't, because you've been very vocal about this. And
big fan of Kermit the Frog. Grew up on Kermit the Frog. Think Jim Henson is a genius. There's a time and the place to interview Kermit the Frog, and it's not during the greatest disruption the industry has seen. I'll just leave it at that. Right? Yeah.
No, it's a fair point. I mean, we do, I think sometimes struggle to strike the balance in terms of capturing, the excitement that exists in our industry on the content side of the equation, the talent side of the equation, all of those kinds of things. Because, this is an industry, you guys know it, that's driven by passion.
Yep.
And that's there's a super cool aspect to that you'd like to be able to bottle up and bring without distracting, right? Without taking away from, the full, business reason that people are there.
If I could ask a slightly long-winded and not at all intended to be contentious question, Chris, the NAB is a nonprofit organization, a trade association of radio and broadcasters in the U.S. And I'm just reading from your About Us that delivers value through advocacy, education, and innovation. And I actually believe that. I don't think that's fluff. And then I would say, as I look at your filings as a nonprofit, 70% of the funding for those initiatives is coming from the NAB show itself, and only 20% is coming from membership fees. You know, with that as the background,
I think, Josh, it's important, if we're going to talk about this, to put it into the context that the last 990 filing I read said that the show brought in 43 million top line in 2017 or 18 was, I think, the last one's available.
You're in the ballpark, yeah.
Yeah. And where I was going with this is, if the technology side is funding 70% of the initiatives, and maybe you can disabuse me of this, you know, Chris, I don't feel like the technology side's getting 70% of the voice in the future of a lot of these decisions. So, and maybe feel free to disagree, but I look at Gordon's note announcing the change to October, and again, very selfishly, I'm focused on the technology. Didn't even use the words technology or engineering, but he did refer to, the wider industry. Is this an opportunity for the technology side of the industry? I'm completely an advocate for the technology side. I don't think we get as much of a voice as we should. Is this an opportunity? Am I reading this wrong? You know, help me see the error in my ways.
So finish the question, I guess. This is an opportunity in what way?
So our decisions associated with the show, is 70% of the voice going to come from, say, the exhibitor community, or is that going to become from more of the media community of what happens in some of those other events that are taking place around the show?
Can I ask a question? Maybe it's not the same question, but a slightly different way, which is that at your board level, my understanding anyways, is there are heads of groups and network people who really are, they're kind of in a slightly different part of the industry, or even an industry, than the people who are, you know, on the show floor paying those bills. Is there a realization like, oh gosh, no show, no technology exhibitors, we have a problem, and therefore should that balance of the 70% of the money that comes in somehow get a better seat at the table, as it were?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, this situation, which I'm sure is true for a lot of different entities, has bubbled up questions that, you know, we would have never before have addressed. And this, I think, is one of them. So, as and you mentioned it, you know, Joe, we are different than, say, for example, CES, right? So CES, which is run by CTA, Consumer Technology Association, their primary members are manufacturers, consumer electronics manufacturers. Therefore, their customers for the trade show, and primary customers being exhibitors, match up perfectly with their membership.
Right.
We're not in that situation. Our members, who on the organization side are our primary customers, are really the attendees at our event. And they're only one fraction of the attendees at our event. They're not even the majority, actually, which is a good thing. Long, long time ago, you've heard this story, I'm sure, the board understood that, you know, in order to, that there was a benefit, let me put it this way, that there was a benefit to looking at the show differently and understanding that to grow the event, we had to be able to diversify that audience base and extend it beyond just the membership focus. And so for a long time, that event has, the event has grown well beyond just the broadcast core. We are in an unusual position in that way, in that from a voice perspective, as you guys mentioned, our advocacy efforts, much of the sort of internally focused educational programming and efforts are really just zeroed in on that membership base of broadcasters and is not as focused on what else can be done for the technology sector, for our, certainly good vendor partners. And so, back to, as the question bubbled, yes, sure. I think now, the board is very savvy as it relates to this. I don't think they are not naive about it. They understand the dynamic here. They've been incredibly supportive, and allowed us to push some of the edges a little bit, which has been nice too. Because there are some times where the policy perspectives from the membership perspective bump up against the technology side of the world, and we're not all kumbaya there. And Gordon recently and our team recently have been, you know, a bit more vocal on regulation around some of the big tech platforms, those kinds of things. Those are customers on the show side. So, you know, we have to kind of walk a balance with some of that, and it is challenging at times. But back to your question again, can I guarantee you that, hey, all of a sudden the doors open and we have a different kind of membership structure and all of that? I don't know. The questions are being asked, though, because I think people recognize that, you know, this is a very different time. They understand, you know, what the show represents, you know, both to the organization and to the industry. And they understand that it's critical that we continue to be able to evolve it. And they appreciate the relationships we have with our technology customers. I mean, they really do. I mean, it's just a small thing, but, you know, we don't have a tiny board. It's about 60 people.
Wow.
You know, and it's split between radio and television folks. And every year, just before the show, we go out to them and we just say, hey, look, can you do us a little favor? And can you, and these are, as you know, if you're a group head, even a network exec or whatever, when you go to our show, you're a bit busy, but we go out and we say, hey, can you do us a favor? And can you go on the floor and spend some time and go around? And we give them a specific list of companies and we say, can you go by and just make sure you stop and tell them how much we appreciate them being in the show? And I am always shocked at the number of our board that actually specifically carve out the time to do that, including our, you know, our chairman, Jordan Wortley from Hearst, and, you know, those kind of people, again, who Jordan's generally not able to get on the floor all that much.
There's probably a lot of people that will be listening to this wondering how they get on that list.
Yeah, absolutely. We split the list as best of, you know, to the best of our ability, and we try to get as many companies in there as we can. With 60, you know, we get some opportunity. Although we got to match radios with radio and, you know, TV with TV and those kinds of things. But we do work on trying to, you know, get them around, and they're very, very generous with their time and getting out and making sure that they do that. And they really do, you know, appreciate, what it means to have those folks, you know, on the floor, so they get it. At the same time, they understand that, you know, it's also a little tricky from an advocacy perspective to kind of open, you know, the membership piece all the way up across the board. A lot we can do in education, and a lot we can do in the technology and technology development. Another area I think we are looking at, the advocacy piece just is a little trickier given, you know, some of the policy, you know, pieces that, you know, jump up.
So Joe, can we finish with a strong flourish? Am I, do I have the leeway to do that?
I'm not standing all right. In the way. Well, you're bigger than I am, too. So, you know,
well,
come on.
I love the talk of focusing on data, Chris. I love the KPIs. I guess the thing I'd love to give you a shameless opportunity to speak to, and maybe I'll set this up. You know, Joe and I, anytime someone has a poor trading performance among the exhibitor community, their first inclination is to try to blame their circumstances, right? There must be some market vertical out there I'm not touching, some trade show I'm not going to. And we usually have to be the ones that tell them there's no Easter Bunny. There's no undiscovered continent out there where there's trade shows with people with big budgets. No.
But maybe if the trade show would start on a Sunday instead of a Monday.
Yeah.
That would change everything.
Great idea. Like that a lot.
Yeah. Well, so, and you know, where I'm going with this is I do firmly believe that if you have a sophisticated media production or distribution problem to solve through technology, that you're showing up at NAB. And that's regardless of the organization type. So I think maybe the marketing or the branding of NAB hasn't kept pace with the changing buyers that are coming to the show. It is my view that is still the marketplace. If I back up and I say, if history has taught us anything, as long as you have willing buyers, you will always find willing sellers. So just the initiatives that maybe you could highlight for us on bringing in those new buyers, community, new media companies, even smaller, you know, shops, you know, guys putting on podcasts, that kind of stuff, for two reasons. One, because I think it's really important, but two, also just to maybe to amplify on my there being no Easter Bunny story to a lot of these people that want to believe that there's something else out there. No, these are your customers, so you got to go have a conversation with them and make it work.
I'd say, Josh, sorry, Chris,
sure,
that you just gave the shameless plug. And I also would say that although we're doing a podcast here, a couple of guys doing a podcast is not going to move the needle for Sony or Crest Valley or Panasonic or whoever. So as part of not having the Easter Bunny, having more independent creative people come to the show just clogs up the aisles sometimes for the people that aren't selling some of those things. Maybe that goes back to quality versus quantity, but
Let's not discriminate against people with lower budgets. They have problems to solve too.
I think that when in the media world, nobody has lower budgets than Devon Croft.
Let me turn it around. Those 60 people on your board, Josh Steinauer believes that they all aren't properly valuing their engineering teams and they're spending too little on technology. So they need to get to wherever the show's going to be and they need to get their checkbooks out and whatever they're planning to spend, they need to spend more. All right, and we'll marry that with all the new people that are coming.
Or hire more engineers or pay the engineers more?
I'm willing to say that out loud.
Next NAB board meeting, you're going to maybe be a guest speaker.
Sure.
Well, then we'll see how that goes over.
Or maybe we invite them all to NAB San Diego.
Yeah. Well, I would say, though, there is no one walking the earth that is a bigger fan of the trade show. And as I started out saying, we have a vested interest to see it to be very successful, and we're looking forward to see how the show shakes out. Unfortunately, we have to wait about a year for that to happen.
Well, do you want to give him the opportunity to have his shameless plug?
Yeah. Right? So going back to the question that Joe stopped up, the initiatives to bring in these new buyers.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned some of our good longtime customers, and you know, we've plenty of conversations there where it's clear that you know what you said is exactly right. You know, don't bring us folks who aren't serious, bring us, you know, serious buyers, plus bring us new. You know, we need help with new. You know, how can you help drive that? You know, we've been doing a lot of work and focusing more and more around that. A lot of it ties to a long-term plan that links to some of these digital initiatives that have now been accelerated. Believe it or not, we already had some of these things in the plan. They just weren't necessarily in the plan on this timing. We've accelerated all of that. We've announced now, you know, a new year-round platform, NAB Amplify, which we believe will actually help with this issue, because at some point, in Josh, as you poked me a little bit there with keeping up on the branding, or evolving the branding to kind of match this issue, it will be called NAB Amplify at the start. At some point, you may see the NAB disappear. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason that would happen is we want to attract people to the platform itself and to the value, so that we can then introduce them to the physical events and the other services we can provide. And we want to make it a little easier to get past that barrier that sometimes pops up, which is, oh, it's NAB, that's broadcasting, that's not me, and that's old, or that's traditional, and that's not us. So we have to be able to overcome that. We do think the platform will help feed that. We've got very specific communities that we are going to be serving initially through that platform, streaming being among those, live events being among those, the cinema community certainly. So there are, I think, some really interesting new segments in there that we, if we build the content the right way, if we build the engagement aspects of what we're trying to do the right way, that we'll be able to build those communities. So kind of the integration of sort of the digital opportunity as a feeder and as, you know, as something that, you know, creates a virtuous circle there with the physical and a calendar of things that are happening. So this is another big shift for us, is getting moving past, and this will take time because people will still, I'll still get phone calls from people who will say, how's the weather in Las Vegas? And I have to tell them that we're actually officed in Washington, D.C. And so people that...
At least they don't say Chicago or Dallas.
No, yeah, exactly. But people think of NAB show as a show and don't understand the other things that we could do. And they also think of it as a one-time thing. And so we have to move beyond that to become a year-round resource for the industry, a true year-round resource for the industry. And we understand there are other people kind of in the space doing things. We don't want to be just another car in that race. We know we need to kind of come in with a view and with products and services that fill needs and that are a little bit different. And we don't have all of that sorted out. So this is curation, I think, at a pretty high level. It takes a lot of work. It's not easy. And we've only scratched the surface there. There's a lot more I think we can do there. And maybe the thing I get most excited about on that is the learning, right? Is the data, is the data that comes out of that, and the information that comes out of that, and the result that comes of that out of that is incredible.
Don't need to convince us about the value of data.
Yeah.
No, that's delightful.
Really interesting. Thanks, Chris. Thanks for the candid conversation and telling us
no problem.
What it's like and what's happening and some of the hard decisions that you've had to go through. It's really interesting. I guess the next time we'll see you in person will be NAB San Diego. So we're looking forward to that. And
hey, you know, I'd love to. Actually, we looked at San Diego for a couple of things. So I'd love to do something in San Diego. So don't rule it out.
I've seen you on the plane to San Diego.
Yeah.
Last time we saw each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alrighty. Great. Well, appreciate it, Chris.
All right. Thanks a lot.
And we will speak to you soon.
Great.
Thanks. Bye.